This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're going to go to Cleveland, Ohio now, the outskirts actually, for another story in our year-long series about the financial crisis and the last 10 years in our economic lives. It's called Divided Decade. Cleveland and its surroundings were hit just about as hard by the foreclosure crisis as it is possible to be hit. From 2006 to 2009, in some neighborhoods, half the properties were in foreclosure. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports now from the Cleveland suburb of South Euclid, residents are still feeling the after effects.
Maria Torres needed a place to live fast. She'd been renting a house in South Euclid with her husband and three kids when she was told the house was in foreclosure and she had just a few weeks to get out.
So we're calling, going back and forth, like, please help us understand what's going on here. We've got kids. The kids are in school. It was just a big disaster.
Then, in the middle of all that, she noticed a sign in front of a house around the corner. It said, rent to own.
We could stay in the same neighborhood, you know, and just get out of there. We literally walked our little stuff over here, and that was it.
The house is a three-bedroom, 1920s brick colonial. When Torres's family moved in last year, it had some broken windows and the paint was peeling. But it had possibility. After a $1,250 move-in fee, they've been paying just over $400 a month in rent, much less than the going rate in their middle-class neighborhood. Nearly half that goes toward a down payment. They have an option to buy for $45,000. But there's a catch. Torres and her husband are on the hook for repairs.
It was kind of an act of desperation, like, okay, you know, we knew that there was some things that needed to be done, but we'd rather do some work than be homeless.
Some things turned out to include 112 code violations, ranging from cracks in the driveway to dangerous wiring.
We had to repair the basement walls. We had to scrape everything off, put new ceiling up there.
They had to paint the entire house.
Put railings up upstairs in the attic.
Replace the shower in the bathroom.
Fix the flooring in all the kids' rooms.
$12,000 later, there's still a lot left to be done. Torres and her husband have good jobs. She sells insurance. He works for a bank. But a history of poor credit and bankruptcy ruled them out for a traditional mortgage. So even with all the work, they were feeling pretty good about the decision.
Got everything put together, you know, you start to see a lot of potential. And it just made us, you know, made us proud that we accomplished it. So that's why when I got your phone call, I'm like, oh, okay, here comes the carpet rip from under our feet.
That phone call came from Sally Martin, who's standing with me now in Torres's driveway. Martin is housing director for the city of South Euclid. It's her job to enforce the housing code, which puts her in the business of delivering bad news. After they talked, Torres found out she owed $3,000 in property taxes. According to her lease, she's responsible for those, too.
If you don't pay the taxes, can they put you out because that was part of your obligation?
They possibly could.
And you'd lose your $12,000, mm-hmm. And you'd lose all that you paid.
I'm in no position to pay that amount of money, like, up front.
Torres is among thousands of people still caught up in the aftermath of the foreclosure crisis. In South Euclid, 20% of homes ended up in foreclosure. Investors swooped in to buy a lot of them on the cheap, often sight unseen, with the intent of flipping them. But credit dried up. And then, says Martin,
mortgage loans were very difficult for people to obtain. And so people were looking for alternatives.
Alternatives that create income for investors and leave people like Torres with all the responsibilities of home ownership and almost none of the legal protections. Sarah Mancini, an attorney with the National Consumer Law Center, says it's the rare rent-to-own deal that actually works out.
If they miss a single payment, they can lose everything and be evicted like a tenant. So they're really not building up any equity in the home. They don't have any right to protections in the form of a foreclosure process.
Mancini says many rent-to-own and other so-called seller-financed housing schemes target low-income people of color who can't access traditional credit.
And it's partly based on the history of racial residential segregation across the country. You had this pattern of disinvestment where banks did not equally make credit available in communities of color.
Then came subprime lending and the foreclosure crisis.
And now we see this resurgence in these really predatory transactions that are, again, being targeted at these same communities of color.
Mancini says in most states, contracts like the one Maria Torres signed are illegal because landlords are responsible for keeping a property habitable, which means it's on them to fix any code violations. like the 112 that Torres inherited and that continue to eat away at her ability to save for a down payment.
So we've kind of been just making them work for now, doing one piece by piece.
Because these risky rent-to-own deals often aren't recorded, it's impossible to know just how many are out there and how many people are still trying to emerge from the housing crisis with a home of their own. In South Euclid, Ohio, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.